Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. I'm RC, and of course, with me as always is Dump Truck.
Hello, everyone, and this week we have Chilo, or Chilo, who
I
is.
I think it's Chilo.
Chilo.
Chilo?
We like to call him Daniel, but Chilo has made a name for himself by kind of recreating and remodeling the entire Quake bestiary more than one time. And he's also made some controversial, you know, takes on those monsters that we'll talk about later.
Right. I can tell you they include boobs, but that's all I'm going to say. So stay tuned, right? We also talk a lot about blood. You familiar with this FPS, Dump Truck? Blood?
I'm getting more familiar by the second.
It's actually really cool.
I live again.
It's a really good old school FPS from the 90s that many, many people love. And of course, you may not know this, but Chilo is a part of the team working on Wrath, Eon of Ruin. So we're going to talk a little bit about that too. So without further ado, let's talk to Chilo.
When it first came out in 1996, I was 10 years old, and my brother actually bought me the little demo disc from, I think it was either Babbage's or Egghead at the time, one of those software stores, and he bought me this little demo disc, and it was the demo of Quake, the shareware Quake, and then it had some other things that you could order, I don't know how it was, maybe like via telephone or something, but it was like, they had like Hexen, what is it? The something Dark Knights of the Citadel. I can't remember what that thing was called.
Death Kings of the Dark Citadel, I think.
Yeah, Death Kings of the Dark Citadel. And they had a few other of those add-ons that you could like order online. So it was just like a disc of the shareware Quake with with like a catalog of things that you could order. And I don't know, it was pretty cool. He ended up getting me the full version of Quake for my birthday, and so I just played it, and at first I was kind of like, it's really blocky and the graphics aren't as good as Doom, and you know, I was 10 and I couldn't see the future of like full 3D. I was just still enveloped in the whole Doom has better blood effects and this one is all pixelated and it's not as cool. But then I ended up really falling in love with what you could do with Quake.
It's so brown.
Yeah. But I like that. I like the brown. I don't see what the problem with the brown is. And there's other things too. Like, I mean, episode 2 is like almost completely blue. Mm-hmm. And episode 3 is kind of like purplish green. Episode 4 is definitely brown.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's nuance there. There's differences. Anyway, so I guess my first opportunity I got for like modding or making 3D models like for an actual mod was, it wasn't even Quake, it was Quake 2, and I had no idea what I was doing because I just had QME, the Quake model editor, and I got on board with these guys. They were making a Quake 2 mod called Crush Depth, which was like a deathmatch, like nautical themed mod where you could, drive around in like a little, like one person submarine and shoot other players with it. It was kind of cool, I guess. But, I just tried making models for that, and I wasn't too familiar with the MD2 format or, you know, all the weird little ticks it has, like the external, texture. Whereas, you know, Quake MDL is all, everything's internal in the model. And you don't really have to worry about anything else. So that was kind of weird. So after that, that project kind of just ceased production, and I kind of moved on to my own thing and just kept experimenting with modeling and then trying my hand at mapping. And I guess like... my first experience with like Quake mapping, now I'm kind of going back in time because that was actually before the whole Quake 2 project. That was when I got Aftershock for Quake. I don't know if you guys remember that add-on.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it, yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was just like my 10-year-old brain, like, loved it. And I was just like, this is awesome. Like, these maps are so cool looking. I love these textures. And I like, go back and play it again. I'm like, oh, this is god-awful. Like, this looks terrible, you know? But it came with this map editor called Thread. And it was just this extremely primitive map editor that Jim Lowell, who was the creator, he actually released it for free. You know, it's just like another free editor, but it was included in Aftershock. So like, we have all these cool tools in this CD. So I messed around with Thread, and it had no texture preview. It was just really janky. I was just making arbitrary shapes. Nothing was like locking up to the grid or snapping to the grid. It was just a mess, you know, and I could never get anything to compile. I couldn't figure it out. And and so I just like left it alone. I went back to to modeling. So over the years, I worked on a bunch of different mods for people. I worked on Pride on Gate. I made the player model. I made all the weapon models. I wanted to continue on, but I guess I just kind of lost interest and moved on to other stuff. Like me and Renegade C worked on all kinds of mods together. We did Ascension of Vigil, and I did the player model for that one. And I did some of his.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, that was
that's very cool.
That was me, like. That was like 21 or 19 year old me. Just, you know, what I knew about modeling at that time. So there's no, like, the animation's kind of rough. There's no interpolation. I didn't know that you could actually do interpolation on QME until much later, mm-hmm. which would have been really handy. So it's just, you know, just handmade animations. And then I moved on to his other mods, like Codename Corporal, which is like a little mod that he was doing as like a Dreamcast port where you just, it's actually really cool. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. I could probably find it.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
Yeah. You play as like this space captain and you're on board this ship. It's like a horror game, like a sci-fi horror where you're on this ship and then there's like, the crew is like, they're zombified. They have like these worms inside of them. And when you shoot them, the worms crawl out and try to attack you. Yeah. And then there's other like bigger monsters. And, it was pretty interesting. And it was all done with, like the Resident Evil style where the camera's looking down at you and there's, it doesn't fall. Well, the angle follows you, but then it switches to another camera when you're into another room. So like old school Resident Evil style.
Yeah, like a fixed camera with a 3D thing in the back.
Yeah, cool. Fixed camera with the angle following your character. So there was that. There were some other ones. I teamed up with the elf guys. Those they were brothers. They made what are some of the stuff they made? They made a bunch of stuff. They made the Dark Ages add-on for Pride on Gate, and they made Defeat in Detail. I don't know if you guys have heard of that one.
No, like a little, some of these really are like, I don't know. I've not heard of these things.
Defeat
and crazy.
Defeat and Detail is like a real time strategy. Like, it's like they try their hand at making like a Command and Conquer in Quake. And it was actually really cool. Cause they made the cursor to where you could select multiple, units at once and then, you know, click where you want them to go. And it functioned pretty much like Command and Conquer did, but it was all 3D. It was in the Quake engine. And, it was fun. I worked on that and let's see, let me open up my bio. Cause now I need to check what I wrote to you. Cause I know there was,
let's see. I've got it right here. You got Ascension of Vigil, Feral Flesh, Defeat in Detail, Codename Corporal.
Okay. Yeah. So Feral Flesh was, another, mod that this guy named Damon, whatever, he was making. And that was kind of interesting because it came with like his own built-in inventory system that he built off of Dark Places with using like CS progs client side, you know, programming.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool because you could open up an inventory and then you could see all your items in it, and then you could drag them with your mouse and then drag them into the world, and then they would, you know, the Quake guy would throw them out, and then you could pick them back up, and there was a monetary system, and it was just like a really rough little prototype type RPG game. So that one is also pretty obscure. I think most of the stuff I worked on besides Pride on Gate and Ascension were pretty obscure. But yeah, other than that, I just kind of did modeling for other mods that, you know, never saw the light of day, and I just kind of did it, you know, for my own, just for my own hobby, not ever releasing them. But I think nowadays I've become more conscientious of just wanting to release things just to make sure the public actually sees them. yeah. So over the years, I've actually been more proactive in making sure other people see my work.
Yeah, and that brings me to your Twitter feed. I mean, you're pretty good at updating and kind of giving some fun, you know, kind of details and options. I think if I'm not mistaken, you've asked for people's, you know, feedback just on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And said, like, what do you think? Like, you made this vor with, let's see, breasts and horns coming out of her head.
Yeah.
And so talk about the feedback you got on that, because I love that thing.
Really?
I think it's awesome.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I am in the minority, man.
It got ridiculed hard. People were like, what, a vor with tits? What's wrong with you? And I was like,
yeah, what's wrong with you, man?
But
why would you even dare improve on that wonderful model that it made?
Well, like, I thought the vor was supposed to be like a female. So I was like, oh, well, you know. What can we do to embellish on that, extrapolate, you know, a little bit of that, so kind of add a little bit more story, a little bit more character to her, and I don't know.
I want to make her into some kind of boss via QC. So does she? These haters, those boomers, have not seen the last of the boar with boobs.
I hope not.
Or the boar with the boar. I'm the boar with boobs. She's the boar with, you know. Very large boobs.
Okay, well, you know what? This is the first positive feedback I've gotten about that. So thank you.
I think I stopped making sense a couple seconds ago, but no, I'm a big fan.
So. All right, well, cool.
But you did like a whole replacement pack, or at least one, right? Did how many iterations of that did you do?
Oh gosh, I'm not sure. But yeah, I tried making all the monsters in the registered version of Quake. Just making more high poly versions of each one with just like, it's like a method I learned where you can actually maintain all the old animations of the models, but you can manipulate the vertices to kind of make whatever shapes you want while still maintaining the animations. It's like, it blew me away when I figured out how to do it. But basically in QME, there's, you know, you can group vertices together, and then you can turn them into like a separate object with its own functionality. So what I was doing was grouping different vertices of the monsters together, and then just kind of sculpting them while still maintaining their animations. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was just really exciting for me to realize that you could do that. I mean, it takes forever to do as opposed to like just modeling from scratch, because you're, just the way you're manipulating it is much more tedious than actually just sculpting a brand new model. But anyway, it was just great that, you know, so many people are ambitious and they want to create brand new models but once you get to the animation phase, it's like a whole nother ball game, and it's like, oh, this is mm-hmm. going to be a lot harder than I thought. And that's when most people kind of give up. But once I found that workaround, I was like, oh my God, like I can make new models and have the animations already there. Like, and I don't have to worry about them looking weird or, you know, jarring or making people, you know, be like, oh, that looks weird. You know, that looks
awkward. So for people who haven't modeled, cause I will say there's a way, I mean, you're like, I'm sure you're in demand, because there's not that many people who really make models, animated models, especially for Quake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
can you kind of
like, do I know there's Preach, Preach is a really good 3D modeler. He's done a lot of stuff. He did some models for Prydon Gate. He has actually his own, I think it's a WordPress site where he actually has a lot of tutorials and stuff about Quake modeling. So he's pretty good. So I've actually, read a lot of his manual and just kind of learned a lot of stuff about Quake and as far as like, kind of vertex warping and all that junk that goes along with mapping or modeling for Quake, which is obviously a huge problem,
So now, can you give people who maybe they have messed around with mapping, kind of just some of the differences between making a model and like, cause it is sort of like a mini map in a way, because you have vertices and things like, I know it's not, it departs from there very quickly, but can you give us just kind of like blank page, like how do you start?
Yeah, I guess in general terms? Like you've said in the past that mapping is like, building, well, for mapping with a Quake rather, it's like using like Legos, you're using blocks and you're kind of building stuff with blocks basically. With modeling, it's more like just vertices based, and you're building your model with kind of vertices. You're shaping it with the vertices. So I think Trench Broom is kind of closing the gap there a little bit. I mean, not a lot, but kind of with its vertices manipulation. It's turned the mapping into like a lot of kind of a sculpting process. And modeling is a lot the same way. You're sculpting your character or your item or your weapon or whatever into what you want it to look like, iteration by iteration until you have what you want. As far as like mapping goes, I'm not like a huge mapper. I've just started this project where I've been creating recreating the entire first episode of Blood in Quake. And since I'm not really a great mapper, what I've been doing is taking pictures of the blood, the actual original Blood map, like in game, like with the auto map, and then kind of like patching them together to make one giant map, one detailed map, and then kind of tracing over it, and so it's like to the point and exact, and then doing whatever changes I need to do in order to make it function in the Quake game. So obviously there's no rotating textures, at least not in vanilla Quake. So right now I'm just using vanilla Quake and trying to recreate it all. So, I mean, yeah, as far as mapping, I can't really talk too much about like theory or anything, but like, as far as modeling, that's more, it's just like sculpting in real life, I would say. You're just kind of, well, what I've been doing recently is starting very simple, very blocky, and then just refining it from there. And I think that's how most people who make 3D models, that's how they actually do it. They start simple and they just start gradually adding more and more detail to it. Because I think what I was doing when I was much younger was trying to add all the detail at once. And that's why it came out kind of incongruous and kind of, the way a little kid draws, where you'll have a lot of detail on one end, and then you'll have something, you'll have the legs really small because they ran out of paper at the bottom, something like that, where more so now I'm trying to do the whole thing holistically and make a simple version first and then add detail further on. And then at that point, then you would rig it and then animate it. And so one thing that, I've gotten into is Blender. Blender's been a huge help as far as making MDLs, because you can then do all kinds of things in Blender that you can't do anywhere else, at least not in like the Quake model editors. So what I've been doing is I've been going on sites like Mixamo and then the Carnegie archives for like the motion capture database, the motion capture libraries. And you can actually import motion capture data into MDLs now, just through Blender. So you can create like your raw working file, and then you can rig it to say like a Mixamo animation. And then when you do that, you can have like your death animations, you can have your firing, attacking, whatever. You can have that all together using Mixamo, and then you can export it as an MDL and just tweak it, you know, make sure everything syncs up to the way the code is written, you know, as far as, oh, well, if, you know, make sure he's not moonwalking or anything. And then, just tweak it and make sure it looks good. And I did an ogre, like a version of the ogre that way, using Mixamo animations. I don't know if I can find it for you guys. But yeah, it was basically like a brand new ogre model. And then I just imported Mixamo into it. And then, yeah, people seem to like it pretty good. Yeah.
That's cool. That's very cool. So now going back to your Blood project. So you do you want to do the whole game? Is that what I heard? Do you want to do kind of recreate the whole game of Blood in the Quake engine? Is that the project? Or just kind of, you're just kind of messing around?
I'm just kind of doing like a little test run to see if I can get some attention garnered and see if I can maybe.
And models, yeah, obviously, later down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're getting just the hardest right. part is for me, like ideally, is just getting the maps made. Because I mean, I can go in and make the models. I can, roughly program the monsters and weapons. But, you know, it's just going to be without them in their, you know, their proper environment. So I figured, oh, I'll just do the environments first then. And then I'll go back and do what I'm good at, which is the models and everything else. Mm-hmm. So, I'm actually having kind of a blast just creating the maps in Quake, because it's a lot of fun to just be like, I looked all over for a converter, you know, from build to Quake, and it's not out there. And I thought at one point there was right. something like that. I know there's something like that for Doom. You can export. It's like a long process, but you can convert Doom maps into Quake maps. I've done it years ago. I can't remember how to do it now, but I've also, I went back and tried to do it with Duke Nukem or build engine maps rather. And it doesn't, there's no way to do it. So I just figured, oh, well, I'll just do it from scratch then. But I still want it to look as close to the original as possible. So yeah, that's what I did. I just started, taking screenshot after screenshot of the maps if you can tell how big a texture is on the auto map, because luckily in the build engine games, the auto map has the textures on them. You know, you can see the floor, the ground you're walking on. So you're like, oh, okay, well that, mm-hmm. that texture is 64 mm-hmm. by 64. So I can scale this bitmap down to that scale, then import it as a texture in my WAD file, load that up into Trench Broom, and now the map is completely synced up as far as size to the Quake grid. And then I could just map over it and make sure there's no like arbitrary vertices, you know, not snapped to the grid, and just make it as compatible to create to, you know, the Quake engine as possible. Just clean it up a little bit and then compile it. And I've been using Eric W and, you know, the Tronin tools, and it's been looking really good. I'm just like really, really excited to see, you know, these newer mapping techniques like applied to like old build engine levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know RC has played Blood. Yeah. I've never played it. I don't have it. And I know there's a lot of love for it in across the whole FPS kind of communities out there. There's that always pops up, that game, right, RC? I mean, it's
constantly. So, yeah, people talk about it all the time.
So my actually the most experience I've ever had it was watching RC play through it. I'd seen screenshots.
Do you have a playthrough of it, RC?
But
on your channel or anything?
Yeah, I played through the first. It's actually not the whole game. It's the first two episodes, I believe. I've been meaning to get back to 3 and 4 here.
Oh, cool. Let me check.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
Great game, though. I was having a lot of fun with it. It was one of those games that I totally I didn't miss it in the 90s. It was just a game that my story. I know the people who watch my show know this already, but like I couldn't get the demo to work on my original PC in the 90s. So I just never bought the game because I'm like, well, if the demo doesn't work, the full game probably doesn't work either. So, But I'm glad I got a chance to play it recently, though, because I was having a lot of fun with it. It's really cool.
Oh, that's cool. You have each episode is one big video.
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, streamed them live.
Yeah, as far as the build engine games, that's definitely my favorite.
Okay.
I love the atmosphere of it. It's just, yeah. You know, you go back, you play Duke Nukem or Shadow Warrior, and I mean, they're good games. They're great games, but yeah, I just love the atmosphere in Blood.
Yeah. You're not the only one. I've heard a lot of people say that. That's their favorite build engine game, for sure.
Yeah. Strangely enough, I'm also a huge Redneck Rampage fan. I don't know why. Yeah.
I think that's the game that reminds me the most of Dusk, for obvious reasons, you know, some of those levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, the farm and everything. I haven't really played much of Dusk. Is it... I've heard it's pretty amazing.
It's really good, actually. I know... In the Quake community, it was going back and forth between people. Some people love it, other people just hate it. But I gotta say, like, out of all the games they've been releasing lately that are new games trying to be old games, this one's one of the best.
Yeah, that's cool. I think. I mean, I can't say yay or nay because I haven't played it. But I think what kind of kept me from playing it was just the graphics just seemed a little too muddy.
Yeah.
For me, like, for my taste. And I mean, if the gameplay is good, then, you know, that's really all that matters. But I'm obviously more of a visual person.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it's very N64. So I get what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. It's definitely looks, very much, like texture filtered. I guess there's different settings for it though, right? Where you can have it, nonlinear, texture filtering or.
Yeah, I believe so. Mirrors, I didn't fool around with it too much, but yeah, I do believe that's in there.
Yeah, so definitely something I need to check out. I've heard it's really good. And even, 3D Realms, who I'm working with right now on Wrath, I guess they have like close ties to the Dusk developers.
And that's what I was just going to say. Speaking of like newer games that are, you know, sort of built to be like older games, you're actually working on one of those, which is cool.
Yeah. Wrath. And I what's cool is that, you know, the difference between Dusk and Wrath is Dusk was kind of built using the Unity engine, you know, and then Wrath goes and just uses Dark Places. And so it's like, oh, okay. So instead of trying to build like an old FPS from the ground up, like Dusk did,
right.
We actually just used the Dark Places engine, and you know, that's already as retro FPS in itself. So yeah, it's an interesting game. I don't know if you guys have watched any of the gameplay trailer or anything like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, we had Frederick and we had Kill Pixel on a few episodes ago.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, those are both great episodes. So just as someone who's worked on Wrath, you should definitely listen to them because they're really good. Really good talks that we had with the guys. And I can't tell you how excited I am about that game. It's just kind of a new development for the community after, you know, 20 plus years. Like, we're finally getting some of these folks in the community to actually create content that many, many people will be exposed to, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is exciting. And, you know, I never pictured myself actually having, you know, helped out on like a major, like a big name release like this, but it's pretty exciting. And, one of the things I like about Wrath is, aesthetically, like Jeremiah or Kill Pixel, I guess, he's really pedantic as far as vertex density, or sorry, not vertex, texel density. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be a certain texel density, which makes, you know, everything just look more congruent when you're playing through it. Like, nothing is, nothing's like out of whack. Like there's no texture stretching at all in the whole game. Everything's just looks very like clean and proper and just very well. So everything is a certain texel density. So everything looks very, very polished. I can say like there's no stretching at all with the texels. So there's nothing jarring like that where you're going to be like, oh, that looks stretched.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, which is like obviously a big deal in, you know, a lot of the Quake models, the old Quake models, like the fiend's teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Which gives it like a really nice look, you know, in my opinion. It kind of like brings out the ferocity in him that he's like, you know, my whole freaking face is stretched back. That's how scary I am.
You also have to remember too, the resolution back then, let's just say software resolution was like what, 240p. And so you're not getting any of that detail when everything's all chunked up on and pixely and crunchy pixels. But then with OpenGL, then everything just mushed together. So it was still low res, right? But 360p, I think, and with the OpenGL version, but it's still blurry and mushy. So we're seeing it in so much clearer detail now. It's easier to pick apart than when they were first released.
Everybody's back to using, you know, GL Nearest.
Right.
And kind of seeing the pixels, and they're like, oh, well, this is like a high res. I'm running at, you know, the highest resolution I can, but it's GL Nearest, and it just, you know, you can just see every single pixel. So yeah, it really does show you kind of the inconsistencies in the texturing. But one thing I've noticed that's really cool, I can't remember what it's called. It's some kind of script that somebody came up with where it, you know, if you're running in a GL engine like Dark Places, then you can add this script to it that kind of limits the threshold of colors as far as when you're shading a texture to make it look a lot more like the old software version. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not the lighting isn't so smooth like you know, in GL it's so smoothed out. It just makes the walls look flat and makes everything look flat. Because there's no changes in the shading.
Yeah, it's almost like there's shadows. Banding introduced banding into the image.
Yeah, so that's one thing that really, you know, later on in life I went back and played. I'm like, oh, this looks ugly, you know, this, and then you go back and play software Quake, and it just looks so much grainier and grittier, and it just looks so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's definitely what they were originally going for. And so there's a script now that you can plug into Dark Places, probably Quake Spasm as well, or whatever, you know, engine you prefer. And it brings it back to that threshold of colors where the shadows have to, I think, align to the palette. You know, the shadows can't go off and do their own thing with, you know, 24-bit, 32-bit color. They have to stick within the confines of the Quake palette. Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. And it's super authentic. That's awesome.
Exactly. So it makes it look so much better. And I'm trying to implement that in my you know, Blood project. So, yeah, Dump Truck, you definitely need to play Blood. You could definitely give it a try. I know they have it on Steam now. I believe
the entire. I wonder, do they have good old games? Let's see. Let me
possibly.
It's like a public service that I'm providing right now. Let's see. Blood. I'm sure everybody who loves it has it. I'm the idiot that doesn't have it. Monolith. Oh, wow, it's Monolith. It's $5, $6. Right on.
Well, on top of that too, I believe they're doing a HD revamp of it.
Remaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone. I can't remember. Do you remember what the production or development team that is?
Night Dive, I think, right?
Night Dive, that's it. Yeah. So they're doing it. And so that's cool. You know, they're going to just, you know, re-release the old game with some updates. And so what I'm trying to go more towards is like a complete remake of it with like a little bit of my own, you know, artistic freedom in it. And I think... Fifth Elephant yesterday kind of brought up a good point. He's like, well, you know, don't get sued doing that. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so. But there's been other projects like it that have come out and, you know, have since, you know, disbanded or quit, you know, production. But I never heard of anything
you know, as far as litigious happening to them, which is great. Cause I don't know. I think who owns it? GT owns the rights to Blood at this point. Or no, Atari. Atari does.
Yeah, Atari. Yeah. Because I'm looking, I just bought, or I put it in my cart here, think, one unit whole Blood, which sounds like it's the game with some
expansion
of the,
pack comes with that. Yeah.
Mission pack.
That's the version I have.
Right. Atari is the publisher on this.
I don't even think Monolith owns the rights to Blood anymore. I'm not sure.
Not sure. It looks like it plays in DOSBox. So I know that there's some kind of source port out there. See, I'm really
because I don't think the source was ever released, but somebody reverse engineered on like the Duke 32 engine, and they made it. Yeah, they made their own version of
what I'm thinking of, I think.
You know, basically reverse engineered it, used all the original assets, and just programmed it from the bottom up. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing that because it is pretty close to the original. But if you do go back and play Blood, like the physics on Blood are a lot different than Duke or Shadow Warrior. Like you're going to like the whole the character movement just feels so much different. You're a lot floatier. There's like when you land from like a tall height, like you, the character just kind of like just subtly like kind of shrugs down and then gets back up to normal height. So there's like a lot of this elegant floatiness to the character movement, which isn't in the other games. And then the explosion physics are another huge part of it, where if you like throw like a bundle of TNT, it blows up, it pushes the monsters back a little bit at first, and then it just the explosion circumference just gradually gets larger and larger. It just pushes them back further and further. So it just there's just really beautiful physics work in the game that you need to. I can't really explain it, but you need to check it out.
Well, groovy. I mean, that's we're finding all kinds of new things, or at least I am. Yeah. I found that. Yeah, the two ports are. It looks like just so everybody knows who's listening. There's Blood GDX, which is sort of a Java kind of based port. And then there's the N Blood. And that was the one that you were referring to that's based on eDuke 32.
Yeah. So, there's that one.
Oh my gosh. More games for me to try and play. And
that's what I actually use to stream though, is the GDX port. It runs really well.
Oh, cool. All right. Oh, cool. Just kind of mess around with those.
So Chilo, could you go into a little bit more of what you're doing with Wrath? I assume you're doing some model stuff, right?
Oh yeah. At this point, what all they've given, well, I should say they've given me a lot to work with, but it's been mostly like static objects, like statues and props and tombstones and that kind of thing. Just kind of like environmental models. And ooh. I've done like the jib sets for a couple of the monsters, which was a lot of fun. It's just a very, very meticulous, a lot of the stuff that KillPixel's doing, where he's making sure that each jib syncs up with its position on the, you know, the actual model's body, so that when you blow, you know, something away, you'll see it just like fall apart.
Oh, okay.
With all the, you know, with each part kind of synced up to where it should be.
Right. So like a forearm will fly off from that point in space when you hit it. That's pretty crazy.
Exactly.
So now is that MD3 now? Or no, that's that's MD3. So but MD3, are you and then your static objects are MDL or MD3?
Oh no, everything's MD3. Yeah. So that's been a jump for me, is trying to learn MD3. And it's not hard really. I mean, there's just a few different perks for MD3. Obviously higher vertex count. Mm-hmm. Without any distortion, which is great. And then there's flags that you can put on the models where, you know, shaders or a particle effect or something can spawn from a flag on the model.
That's
cool. And that can be animated. So, you know, you can have an arm with
you know, half an arm with blood spurting out of the, you know, the wound, and then that can just follow along, you know, where the arm is. So it looks really good. But stuff like that, where there's just like a lot of like really cool effects, and you know, obviously you can tie models together, like in Quake 3, where there's, you know, three models make up a player. So there's stuff like that where, and it just seems like there's a lot more that the coders and scripters can do with MD3 that you can't do with MDL.
Nice.
So, I mean, obviously MDL is still my preference, even though I do know it's like basically obsolete and, you know, only used for Quake, but
right.
yeah, it's still my favorite. Just because everything is packed into the MDL file itself, whereas everything in like MD3 is like external. Oh, you've got your skin file, but then you've got your script file and all these other things. But you know, you have to reference out. So I don't know. I just think that MDL is a little bit tidier in that sense. I don't know.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean. Other than that, it's kind of slowed down at this point. So I'm kind of back to doing my own hobby, which is the blood thing, the remake. So I would, in the very near future, like to get some people on board if they're interested to help me with it.
Ah, we're putting out notice right now.
Yeah, it's a little free advertisement.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the community who I'm sure would love to be a part of that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I know. The question is, here's my question. I'm just being devil's advocate now. Are you going to be able to really do a great job kind of porting the sprites to 3D models? I mean, I know that's obviously probably like the number one thing on your list to do.
Yeah.
But how comfortable do you feel like doing that? Is it going to...
It's going to take several tries. I can already tell it. It's going to take me a lot of work just to make it look faithful to the game.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of bounced back and forth.
Hey, if anybody can do it, man, you made a vor with boobs. So, you know, I think if anybody can do it, you can do it.
Therefore, I can do anything.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you're bold. You have the boldness. You have the bravery to attempt such a...
I have the balls to give a vor boobs.
Yeah, I love that. Yes. Well put, sir. Well put.
Well, yeah. Obviously, it's going to take a lot to stay faithful. And that was kind of something that I've been working like on this idea for years, where I wanted to do a remake of Blood in some form. And I've been just kind of juggling the idea, like, well, should I use more of my own artistic liberty, or should I stay closer to the original game? And I really think that a lot of these remakes that are coming out now, you mean, you've got Shadow Warrior, the new Shadow Warriors, you know, that came out. And I know there's a few other games that are based off of old IPs, you know, that, what are they? I think like, Half-Life, the Black Mesa, I think there were... Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the original Valve team that is making Black Mesa. I think it's somebody else, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So. That's a mod. That's a mod group, and they've been working on that for, I want to say, 10 years. I mean, that's a long-term project from modders, but they have the blessing of Valve. I think that's
what right. And that's and that's kind of like where I'm at. I'm like, well, you know, I don't have the blessing of anybody, but I would surely like to do the same kind of treatment to Blood, where you know, I just kind of bring it into a newer version, like a more modern version of the same game. But a lot of that stuff is what I'm trying to get to is, you know, they try to stay as close to the game as possible, and I feel like that's what the fans want to see, is something that's as close to the original as possible, but modernized. And a lot of the time when these
quote-unquote modernized.
When the people are like when the devs are kind of like they go off in their own direction, it kind of throws off a lot of the fans are like, oh, what are they doing here? You know?
Right. It's so those are more of a reboot than a kind of a remaster. You're talking about right. Kind of a remastered version that's faithful, and they're kind of trying to reboot the franchise for the audience.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, obviously I wouldn't want to use any of the original assets. I would want to make everything from scratch. So at this point I'm using the original textures as placeholders when I'm planning on going, before I release it, I'm going to go back and, make my own versions of each texture.
Yeah, because what I was going to say is that, you know, one thing you might, because you're putting so much effort into this and you could get a, you know, copyright deal, yeah. You know, you could get dinged. I almost would say, like, do your own spiritual successor or do your own kind of version
successor,
of
Wrath. Yeah.
Yeah. Wrath. Yeah. Because something like Wrath, it's not Quake. I mean, it's a Quake engine, it's the Quake feeling, right. But it's its own thing. So, you, you know, IP, you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may want to just kind of say, well, what if I took blood and added all my stuff to it and still had that, you know, familiarity? It's just a thought, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's definitely in the vein of like Dusk, where Dusk is kind of like a mashup of all those different games. It's like Blood and Redneck Rampage mm-hmm. together, you know, and Quake, I guess, because of the 3D. The 3D look to it. So yeah, I mean, I could definitely do something like that. I'm fascinated with the whole setting in the 1920s. to have a shooter in the 20s is awesome. You know, I love the Tommy gun and, you know, just the whole aesthetic where it's just, it feels like you're in an old place, like you're back in time. And I really enjoy that.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And where I live in Bakersfield, California, which is just like, this old like desert town in California. Right. It's not at all what you think when you think of California. It feels more like Texas here than anything else.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Cause I've at least been through Bakersfield. I don't know if I've ever been to there.
Yeah. But we have like an old side of town, which is like a lot of the stuff there was built in the early, 20th century. So kind of taking the look of that and kind of putting it into a game is kind of like what really appeals to me as far as like the whole blood thing.
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you got to put some oil derricks in there. I'm seeing some oil derricks, like oil.
Yeah. That's
what are they called? Pumping jacks. That's right. Oil jacks.
Yeah. The that's or something like that. Horse heads. I can't.
Yeah. Remember. Yeah. They're and it, like my uncle's an oil man. So I should know. Yeah. I should know that stuff. I don't get any of the money, by the way. I'm not getting any of the money. But he's got
the money. Get him.
Yeah, I wish. God, I wish. The oil field, I'm seeing a picture in Bakersfield. It's like, yeah, that's oil town. Yeah. There it is.
You can see that I'm an oil man.
I'm an oil
man. I'm an oil man.
I'm fixed like no one else. that's one of my favorite movies. So.
Oh, I know. And it actually takes place. It actually takes place in Taft, which is 20 miles from here.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, I did not know that. That's cool. Yeah. It's great. Let me hear your best Daniel Plainfield before we go.
Oh, totally. Gosh. Have you heard that Patton Oswalt bit where he talks about Daniel Day-Lewis or what's his name? Yeah, Plainview doing like as a pizza person.
Yeah.
As great. You can see, I am a pizza cook and I can offer you all sorts of toppings.
I love it. This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for Dump Truck _DS.
Without further ado, let's talk to Chilo.
Do 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 do